space so the system could be used in places besides on the edge of the counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $270.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king, but in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring, and I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, right now, of course, we don't seem to have a guest for this afternoon, and so we're going to have open lines. And our telephone number then is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment and anything we've talked about, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. But in the meantime, let me tell you how they had created the current economic meltdown, because you have to have the facts to really understand what's happening. First of all, of course, they've been planning this for a long period of time, and first of all, it was actually back in the mid-1970s, 1977, as I recall, why they passed legislation that said that the bank should actually encourage people in minorities and racial groups to and poor people to be able to buy homes. And certainly banks could keep a record on how they were trying to help people buy homes. And so that really didn't matter that much. And then, of course, we had the financial problems with the inflation and then the deflation in 1979, 1980, when Paul Volcker was in charge. And then, of course, the next thing that happened was in 1999, why they repealed the act. It was called the Glass-Steagall Act, and that, of course, limited what the banks could do as far as insurance companies and writing policies and selling stocks. And that then gave the banks the ability to start creating new financial instruments, and specifically the ability to take home loans and begin to bundle them together, and take student loans and bundle them together. And so you'd have loans worth maybe, $10 million made up of a whole flock of home loans or student loans or automobile loans or loans of various sorts. And then, of course, they could sell these. And, of course, that isn't a bad idea. It's a convenient means of giving an opportunity to get a return on their money. But the problem, of course, that developed with this type of a loan was that they started lending money to people who couldn't afford to buy a home. And, of course, Thomas Friedman gives the example, and maybe somewhat extreme, but of a man who's making $14,000 a year, and they sell him a $750,000 home, and of course he gets no money down because he doesn't have any money, and no payments for 2 years because he doesn't have any money to pay on the loan. And then, of course, they actually go ahead and they take that loan and they bundle it with a lot of other loans that are quite inadequate, and then they get them rated AAA, and they get a derivative contract on that, which means you have an insurance policy, so if you buy the loan you can't possibly lose, because the derivative contract guarantees that even if the loan defaults you're going to get paid. The only trouble is there's no money in reserves behind the insurance policy, and they sell these, of course, to people all over the world. What do you think happens when you take a lot of loans where people can't possibly make the payments on their mortgages, and you bundle them to bonds, and then you sell them? And so financial institutions throughout the world bought these defective financial instruments. And, of course, this is why the whole world financial system is collapsing. And they knew exactly what was going to happen. These are not stupid people. But, of course, they don't want the American people to know that they created this whole problem. And when we get back, why, we'll tell a little bit more of how they created the problem right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and our regularly scheduled guest is not here, so we're going to have open lines this afternoon. Our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you'd like to call. And right now, we have, of course, Russell, who's calling from Wisconsin. Hi, Russell. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
Do you have a question or comment?
Well, I have a couple of things. I got your 2008 conference CD set.
Did you enjoy them?
I'm enjoying them tremendously. I think Blaylock's one was the best so far, and yours on the Oriental Reception was right on target. I really enjoyed Dr. Blaylock's speech on the vaccines, and, I mean, he just, nailed it to the wall. I mean, there's no way the vaccine proponents can wiggle out of it, as far as their proposals and demands and deceptions as far as vaccinating people, school children or people in the military or whoever it might be. I mean, he just really nailed it.
And, of course, it's very easy to prove, beyond any shadow of a doubt, that these are dangerous. They tell us vaccines are safe and effective. But if they're safe and effective, why do so many of the children in the general community where they're getting the vaccines have all sorts of diseases like autism, but you don't see autism in the Amish children and the Mennonite children that don't take the vaccines? There you've got your double-blind study. You don't need more than that. And if there's any question that the vaccines are harmful, they should immediately be stopped, and they're doing everything they can to suppress the information. In fact, I got a call from a friend of mine today, a doctor in Southern California, who said the local health department is sending a questionnaire out to physicians all throughout Orange County asking why they're refusing to take the influenza vaccine, to explain why they're not taking the influenza vaccine because they're so important. Well, I can tell you why you shouldn't take the influenza vaccine, but they're trying to intimidate the doctors into taking it. The interesting thing is the doctors are a lot smarter than the patients. They don't take their own advice. They don't take them because they know they're dangerous. But, of course, now they're trying to intimidate the doctors into taking them, and I just hope we can get the information to the doctors as soon as possible. Go right ahead, Russell.
I thought it was interesting he was talking about his own childhood and people that had smallpox and measles and things like that, and they had no vaccines for those. When he was a kid, and I never had a vaccine for measles, and I had measles and the mumps, and I got over those just fine. And now they have vaccines for everything under the sun, and people are getting sick. I mean, it seems like they're getting.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon didn't show up, so we're going to have open lines. And you can give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And Russell called in from Wisconsin. He's just he's listening to the CDs from the conference we had in October, talking about Dr. Blaylock's talk on vaccines and how it should be so self-evident that vaccines are not safe and they are not effective and they're doing far more harm than good. But they're not letting the American people know that. And some people will say, well, it's the vaccine companies. They want to make money. And I'm sure that that is part of it. But there also are wicked and evil people out there who actively want to hurt children. You say, well, who would ever want to hurt children? I would ask you, what about Dr. Mengele over there in the Nazi prison camps? And, of course, what you don't know is that your own Central Intelligence Agency helped Dr. Mengele and, of course, some of the other most brutal of the Nazi scientists to escape to South America. That's all covered in our four-tape set on well, of two 4-tape sets. One is certainly on the Operation Paperclip, the secret government program to help the Nazis. 10,000 have escaped to South America. And it's also covered in some of the other material that we actually offer. Actually, one of the tapes there is an interview with Colin Ross, a doctor, a psychiatrist practicing down in Texas, who, just as I have, is talking to a number of patients who claim that they met Dr. Mengele right here in America. I talked to at least 3 people. He had had many more than that. And other people who deal with mind control, they all have the story about Dr. Mengele. But be that as it may, the question is, would anybody really want to hurt children? And the answer is yes. And sometimes they're working at the highest levels of government. Go right ahead, Russell.
That's basically it. I mean, people are getting sick after they're taking these vaccines, and they're being made wide open to all kinds of infections and viruses, and they're not really protecting them.
And what people don't understand is that the vaccine actually damages the immune system, and it doesn't respond normally, but even that, more than that, it damages the vaccine. The immune system that's in the brain, and this is why people many times after when they get an infection, you get a bad cold or the influenza, and you just feel logy. And of course you feel logy because of course the infection affects your brain and the immune response to your brain. Well, what you are doing is priming that when you give it a vaccine, because you are priming that immune system in your brain. And not only that, you're not doing it with one disease. Many times these children are getting vaccines for half a dozen or more illnesses all in one day. And the insult to the immune system and specifically to the brain is just incalculable. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you would like, of course, to give us a call, and let me just point out, you can go to my website of RadioLiberty.com. And in the year 2005, we did two newsletters there on vaccine safety, part one, part two. Go up to the internet at RadioLiberty.com and pull down those newsletters. Actually, we had to go to the university library to get the statistics on the incidence of death from childhood diseases, both before and after the vaccines were introduced. And what you are never told, and what most doctors do not realize, is that the incidence of death from childhood diseases had dropped and dropped dramatically prior to the advent of the vaccine. So you only had 4 or 5 people dying of tetanus a year. You only had half a dozen dying of diphtheria. I think there were 30 people who died a year at the time that measles was actually there. We have all of these statistics, and this is June and July of the year 2002. That was a long time ago, but we do have these out here, and you can pull them down off the internet. If you don't have access to the internet, you can call us and we'll be glad to send them to you. Our number is 1-800-544-8927. Again, our telephone number, because we're having open lines, is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And Russell, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Well, one quick thing. I was reading in the latest newsletter from Voice of the Martyrs. They're talking about the underground church in Iran, and it seems like the church is growing at a very fast pace, and it's getting the leaders there very, very worried. They're cracking down big time, and it's really heartening to see that people are opening up to the gospel of Jesus Christ in all these restricted countries, especially Iran and some of these other Muslim countries, and with all this talk about war against the evil Iranian leaders and because they want to build nuclear weapons and all that, the Iranian leaders, like you said before, are playing some sort of part. They're for the cameras. The U.S. says something and the Iranian leaders say another, and it looks like they're both trying to play each off against each other. And they want people to think that the Iranians are worried about the United States and Israel attacking them, but at the same time, I think they're more worried about the Christian church growing inside of Iran and taking away all the young people from supporting the government.
I think you have to understand, Russell, the reason behind this is because the leaders of this country, and I'm not talking about the man who lives in the White House, I'm talking about the people who control the man who lives in the White House, I'm talking about the people from the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations in this country and their counterpart in England, the Royal Institute of International Affairs. The real thing is that these people hate Christianity. They're involved in the occult. Oh, certainly you'll find people like Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller and Robert McNamara, the man who sent our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die, in a no-win war in Vietnam, would never allow them even to try to win the war. I mean, these people are involved in the occult, and yet these are the people, of course, who control our nation. And what people don't understand is that in the Obama regime already we can count at least 10 members of the Trilateral Commission in key positions in the Obama regime. There are only 120 members in the whole of the North American continent, in the North American group of the Trilateral Commission. And you read what Barry Goldwater said back in 1979 in his book With No Apologies, and he will tell you the purpose of the Trilateral Commission was to take over the political government of the United States, and they have. Initially, when they took over, was in 1976 with Jimmy Carter, who was a member of the Trilateral Commission, and 25, they only had 80 members of the Trilateral Commission at that time, 25 of his administration came from about the 80 members of the Trilateral Commission at the time. And, of course, since that time, the president or the Vice President of the United States in every administration has come from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. Certainly the most powerful bank in the world is the World Bank. And, of course, there have been, since 1973, there have been actually 7 World Bank presidents. 6 of them came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. We've had 4 chairmen of the Federal Reserve Bank, which really runs our monetary system and our economy. 3 of them came from the membership roles of the Trilateral Commission. This is the most powerful organization in the United States, founded in the occult. Its emblem in the center of it, you can look at it, an upside-down broken cross, an ancient emblem of the ancient mystery religions. Understand that behind everything going on today are these powerful spiritual forces. I'm glad you recognize that, and we've just got to get people to begin to understand how this all fits together, that we talk about the political, we talk about the ideological, but it is the spiritual that is guiding all of this, and people have forgotten that it was the American government that toppled the Shah, who had more or less a secular society where people, Christians, could worship if they want to, and we brought the radical mullahs to power there, who, of course, oppressed the Christian element. The same thing happened in Saddam Hussein's regime. 10% of the population were Christians, and even Saddam was a wicked man. Christians could worship as they wished, and you didn't get into trouble until you opposed the government. We got rid of Saddam Hussein. We installed a constitution based upon Sharia law, and the Christians now are being slaughtered and forced out of the country. So it's perhaps less than 3% of the population there are Christian. And if you understand that the common denominator behind everything going on is not only the establishment of a world government ruled by the Antichrist, it is the destruction of Christianity, and that is the foundation of American foreign policy, but they can't let the American people know that. Because, of course, if they did, they might wake up to what's going on. And our job is to let people understand about the secret societies, about the mystic, about the mystery religions, about the Gnostic faith, which is the foundation of Masonry and Rosicrucianism and the Knights Templar and the Illuminati. Yes, and I fear also so much of what's coming out of Hollywood and of the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Group of 30, which are the experts who, of course, run the finances of the world, and 6 of those come from the Trilateral Commission, and 2 of them are going to be the major advisors to President Obama, Paul Volcker, who is the permanent chairman of the Group of 30 and the past permanent honorary chairman of the North American chapter of the Trilateral Commission. And, of course, Timothy Geithner, who just happened to forget to pay $35,000 in income tax, just a little oversight. How could he get away with becoming the Secretary of the Treasury if he's that stupid? He's got powerful forces behind him. He's a member of the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergers, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Group of 30. And, of course, when you do that, you can get away without paying taxes. That's for the common people. The elite don't pay taxes. They don't obey the laws. And, of course, they're presiding over the destruction of our country and bringing in this whole concept of a one-world government, a new international financial order, or a new international economic order, and, of course, the destruction of Christianity. Anything else, Russell, you want to say?
That's it. I'll make room for other callers.
All right. God bless. And our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. It's going to be open lines here in the afternoon, and we'd love to hear from you right here at Radio Liberty. Well, we've got Marcella calling in from Salinas. Hi, Marcella. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. I'm one of your biggest fans. I've gone to your conferences at least 4 or 5 years in a row.
Oh, we appreciate that. Did you enjoy the last one?
It was great. Dr. Russell Blaylock, he autographed his book, Excitotoxin, The Taste That Kills, for me. And I read it. Was difficult reading, but I've given up on aspartame and MSG and It's worth reading, even though it's very difficult reading, but I appreciate you having him. Him and Bill Sardi are my favorite.
And Bill's one of mine, too, and I'm just hoping that we can get him on a regular basis doing talks on medicine, because he's really excellent on that. The problem is he works for a company, and they're not too happy about him being on other people's radio programs talking about health issues. So maybe something will happen. We can get him back regularly. But those were wonderful, wonderful programs we had with Bill, and I'm sure he'll be pleased to hear that you still remember him. I know I do. In fact, I talked to Bill just this morning. We talk quite frequently. He told me that he'd had four of our listeners call him this morning, probably on his product, Longevinex, or maybe just on health issues. But, you know, certainly a lot of people out there still remember him. He does a wonderful job. He's a good friend. What would you like to talk about, Marcella?
Well, like Russell was talking about, I want to recommend some very good sources on vaccines. There's a magazine I discovered, and I've only been getting it less than a year, but I know they've been out for over 4 years, but recently discovered them. It's called Spectrum. It's for the autism and developmentally disabled community, and you just go online and then you subscribe, and they have articles in there by Dan Olmsted. He was the one who recommended that they study the Amish. It was his idea, I believe, and he's constantly reiterating the mercury connection, even though it's not just the mercury connection that causes the horrible autism and developmental and behavioral difficulties that children have. And, you know, I have a very severe 15-year-old autistic child who hasn't been in school for a year, and you'll probably hear him in the background. He doesn't talk. He's not potty trained. And what's going to happen with all these kids? Who knows? The state of California is bankrupt, and I hope they don't cut the funding for the regional centers. I'm really worried about that. You have to fight them tooth and nail to get any sort of benefits that the Latterman Act supposedly guarantees, but with this deficit, I'm really worried. Also, I want to talk about in this Spectrum magazine, there's a great article in there about the demonstrations they had a couple of months ago in New Jersey, where this is the first state that has mandated the influenza flu vaccine, and there were all kinds of demonstrations, no coverage on anything. No coverage on CNN, MSNBC, nothing. And it'll cover, you know, the demonstrations against Proposition 8. And on a scale of 1 to 100, I'm all for gay rights, but on a scale of civil rights, I think that's like a 1, where all these vaccine-injured children are like 100. But since it affects their bottom line, they're not going to go there. And I'm not hopeful for Obama. I read something that he doesn't even want to touch the vaccine issue because he thinks there's going to be a huge outbreak of polio. But, of course, they just don't want to question. They'll question anything, but they don't question these medical mafia establishments. And it's, you know, he has two daughters, and I hope to God they don't get the...
I hope they don't. Hold on. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Marcella. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Right now we have Marcella on the line. Marcella's calling from Salinas. She has an autistic 15-year-old that is so ill that he can't go to school, has to have special care here in California. But, of course, the state is having more and more problems, and whether they're going to be able to keep these centers open for helping the children, we just have no idea. Under any circumstances, it's a terrible tragedy, and people have to understand that there's been an explosion in the incidence of autism. It used to be about one child in 10,000, and now it is up to about 1 in 65 to 85 boys, 1 in 165 children. Some people say 1 in 150 children, but the disease is much more prevalent in boys. So an epidemic, and all of these children are going to have to be cared for, most of them for the rest of their lives, and it is totally unnecessary. You could actually, all you have to do is check out the Amish children, the Mennonite children. They don't get autism because they don't take the vaccines. And as Marcel has said, it is far more than simply the mercury in the vaccines. It's the aluminum in the vaccines and the other things in the vaccines that prime the immune system and attack the brain, and in susceptible children destroy them. And if children are going to be damaged by the vaccines, should they be given them? And, of course, they say, oh, they're safe and effective. They repeat that over and over. Well, I will tell you, there are an awful lot of physicians right now who will not take the influenza vaccine, but they're going to give it to you because they're told they have to. We got a real problem, and we've got some wonderful material now, better than we've ever had before. We have Dr. Blaylock's wonderful talk that he gave at our recent conference. You get it by itself, or you can get it as part of the 5-CD set on the conference we had on October 26th. And then, of course, we have Neil Miller's book, and he has two books on vaccines, actually three of them. And then we have the two four tape sets or CD sets. One's vaccines, the other's vaccine update 2009. And we're going to have to let you go, Marcella. We've got somebody calling in from Ireland, of all places.
Okay. Well, thank you, Doctor.
God bless. Very nice. Thank you. And my telephone number again is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Tim calling from Ireland. Hi, Tim. How are you doing? Tim, are you there? Tim, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Hello.
Hello. It's good to have you with us.
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Very good. I enjoy your program. I came across it by accident in my studies on the monetary system, and I'm just very pleased and have listened to you a couple times, and you're right on, and I appreciate it.
Well, Chris, you're going to have to, one of these nights, we'll just have to have time and go to how they created this whole incredible problem simply by, well, for the first time in history, the Fed is paying interest on the reserves that are deposited with them. They've soaked up $500 billion in money that should be being lent out, but they don't want it lent out. They want this crisis, but they can't tell the American people they've created this whole thing. Why, we'd be mad at them. Go right ahead, Tim.
It's happening over here in Europe and in Ireland as well. We're at a 37-year low in our economy at the moment.
Tim, you sound like an American. Are you Irish or
I'm an Irish American.
All right.
I'm doing some missionary work over here. I've been here for about 5 years.
Okay, fine. Because I knew that you certainly were not the typical Irish because you don't have enough of a brogue. Go right ahead.
Well, I had a question for you. You seem to be pretty knowledgeable. I came across a program that a Matthew Rothschild was doing on Democracy Now! On October the 7th of last year. And as you may know, he is the editor of the progressive newspaper, 100 years old. Let's see here. I've got it here in front of me. And, of the Progressive Magazine. He's the editor of it, which is about 100 years old. I think it was established by the Rothschilds. But he came out and spoke out on the posse comitatus dread that's going on, where U.S. troops are now coming in like they did over the convention. and policing. And he spoke out against it, that we're violating the law by allowing this type of military action to come in. But also, if you read his website, he has come very heavily against those that claim that the 9/11 towers being brought down were a farce, and those that are proposing that perhaps there was an inside job in bringing those down.
Is he for or against them?
He thinks that they're idiots.
I see. Well, of course, he has a right to that, but I think if anybody's really studied that, we'll realize, of course, all you need to do is see Building 7 come down. That was a controlled demolition. Hang on there for just a moment here.
Sure, go ahead.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. We have Tim calling from Northern Ireland. Go right ahead, Tim. You're talking about Matthew Rothschild, and he thinks, of course, that anybody who questions the official party line on what happened on 9/11 is an idiot. So what was the point?
Well, he's also come out and said that he's against the government bringing in military troops to aid local authorities for policing. It's against the Posse Comitatus Act. My question is, he is a Rothschild. Do you know why there seemingly seems to be a schizophrenic attitude towards him?
I really don't. I have no idea. I'm not acquainted with him at all. Maybe we'll look him up on the internet and tell you perhaps sometime later what I think. But remember, sometimes people will say just what you want to hear over and over again, and then, of course, they'll give you just a little bit of faulty information to really confuse you. It's sort of like a snake poison. You know, there's an awful lot of proteins and vitamins and carbohydrates in snake poison, but if you take too much of it, it'll kill you. So, you know, Dave, this is a standard technique that is used to put out false information and then true information and get people so confused they really don't know what to believe. But whether that's the case here or whether he's a sincere individual, I really don't know, but I will look into it, Tim. I can promise you that.
You sound quite knowledgeable, and once again, I appreciate your program. I'm learning and listening and seeing Bible prophecy come to pass here before our very eyes.
Oh, it really is exciting. It's an exciting time to know the Lord, that's for sure.
It is. All the best to you. God bless you.
And you too, and God bless you for being over there doing the Lord's work. Thank you so much. Okay, let's go to Cherie, who's calling us from Texas. Hi, Cherie. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Monteith. I heard you the first time, I guess it was about 6 months ago, on the Alex Jones Show. And that's whenever I woke up to the vaccines and what they were doing to people. Do you concur with other scientific research that has basically come to the conclusion that autoimmune diseases are caused by vaccines?
Well, I think that it certainly can cause autoimmune disease, because what you're doing is priming the immune system to fight the artificial infections you've introduced, and you can turn on the immune system, and when you turn on the immune system, you can get autoimmune complications. Yes, there's been an explosion of autoimmune complications and diseases since we started the vaccines. But nobody is allowed to mention that, or the dramatic increase in asthma, you know, which is an immune disease, or certainly the other manifestations of immune dysfunction. So I certainly agree. Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
Okay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and of course we have an open line this afternoon. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And so give us a call. Right now we have Cherie calling from Texas. She was asking me if I thought there was a relationship between a vaccination and autoimmune disease, and I certainly do. We've seen an explosion of it, and we don't see it in people who don't take the vaccines. And I know my son is an example of that. He actually was quite healthy when he went to the military, got all these vaccines, and of course eventually he almost died of asthma and was actually discharged from the military. and he almost died when he came home here from allergic reactions that he never had before he went into the military. But certainly we see this prevalent all across the country. And then, of course, we see such a dramatic increase in juvenile diabetes we never saw before. And many people think this is an autoimmune disease of the islets of Langerhans in the pancreas, and certainly the dramatic increase in not only autism, but ADD and ADHD.
Mm-hmm.
Because the vaccines attack the brain. If you haven't heard Russell Blaylock's most recent talk, and of course it was the talk he gave at our conference here in October, it's available through Radio Liberty, either alone or of course you get all the talks. And then we've got a great 4-tape set, Vaccine Update 2009, and one of those interviews is with Russell, and of course two of them were with Neil Miller, one's with Barbara Lowe Fisher. This is the cutting edge of what we know on vaccinations right now, so we have the information. We carried three books by Neil Miller, the Vaccine Safety Manual, Vaccines, Are They Safe and Effective, and Autism, mm-hmm. and then we've got things by Sherry Tenpenny, and we've got, you know, we've got DVDs on this as well. We have the information. You just need to help us get it out.
Okay, well, I will definitely do that whenever I get it, so, because I make YouTube videos, and I've made a few, actually, with you in them. I hope you don't mind. But
not at all. You have my permission. Could I just make a suggestion? We have articles in June and July of 2002 up on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're simply Vaccines Safety 1, Vaccine Safety 2. It seems it's a long, long time ago. That's about 7 years ago. But they're excellent material. It's timeless information, and it's completely accurate, just telling you the real dangers of the vaccine and the fact that we've been lied to about how effective they are and certainly how safe they are. Okay, anything else, Marie?
Well, I was just going to say I had an experimental vaccine in 2001 for meningitis, and pretty much ever since I've had autoimmune problems. And now they're saying they think it's lupus or some kind of mixed connective tissue disease.
Well, I'll tell you what, I share you, I actually made the mistake of taking the hepatitis B vaccine when it was being pushed onto doctors and their staffs, and I developed a peripheral neuritis, which is extremely distressing. And we've been up to the university, you know, and of course the university neurologist looks you in the face and he said, you have an idiopathic polyneuritis.
Yes.
And of course you say, of course I know what he means. He means we have no idea why you have a
polyneuritis. Yeah, they'll say fibromyalgia.
Right.
Or some,
that's a fancy medical term to confuse you. Idiopathic means we have no idea what's caused of it, but all I can say is I've always
really
had a feeling.
Iatrogenic.
Right. And we know that hepatitis B vaccine, which we're giving to our children in the nursery and giving to so many people today, does far more harm than good.
Well, I'm learning that now.
Okay,
I wish I could have learned that before, but
well,
thank you so much for what you do. And
well, thank you so much, and just to help us get the word out, will you?
I will.
God
thank
bless.
You.
Bye-bye. Well, let's go to Jonathan, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. And again, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, or I say our telephone number to call if you want to reach us is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. The other is, of course, if you want to order something. But if you want to call us, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And hi, Jonathan, how are you doing?
Hi. Thanks for your radio.
You're breaking up. Can you speak up a little louder?
Oh, sorry. Thank you for your radio program. I'm just tuning in, but I am liking it a lot. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, it seems like the second to last caller already talked about it when I was calling, so I didn't really hear. So I didn't hear what was said, but just wanted to make the September 11th attacks and how this definitely some type of inside job. They were definitely the main story is locked, pretty much.
Well, I think people only have to look at the pictures of Shanksville. Now, if they lied about anything, they're lying about everything. And you look at the pictures of Shanksville immediately after the plane crashed. And here's this big hole in the ground. There's no plane wreckage. What happened to the nose? What happened to the wings? What happened to the tail? There's nothing there. So, I mean, there was a debris field. There's no question the plane came down, but it did not crash into the ground nose down, as we've been told. It probably exploded in the air, and that's why the debris. And the motors were several miles away. So why would they lie to us about what happened to Flight 93? And then, of course, we know they're lying about what happened to Building Number 7, because there's no way that certainly a fire in any way would have generated the heat that would have melted all the supports, the steel supports at the base of the building simultaneously. In fact, interviews with Larry Silverstein, who owned the building, he talked about how we pulled the building. We pulled the building. He's talking about we took the building down. There were people who were at the countdown. They pulled all the firefighters out of the building, and they brought the building down. But they can't let the American people know that. Only recently have they come up with an analysis that, and they've got the most incredible explanations. They cannot let the American people know what happened, because think of the implications. It means that we had no right to go into Afghanistan. We had no right to go into Iraq, and all those people who've died there, both Americans and Afghans, and Afghans and Iraqis have died for nothing. And I fear that's exactly what happened.
Hopefully, hopefully it leads to world peace. Common sense applies to that.
Well, I hope so, too. Hey, we're going to have to let you go because you are already you're cutting out. But
thank you.
Thank you very much for calling, Jonathan. And for listeners out there who have a question about this, please go to my website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. We have a section called Other Videos. And, of course, there you can actually watch Building 7 come down. Remember that with a controlled demolition, the first thing you do is take out the center supports in the building. That way, of course, the building will collapse in. Otherwise, of course, the building will collapse out. Well, Building 7 collapsed in, and you'll actually see the center of the building collapse first, and then the base of the building goes out, and then the building comes down in its own shadow. I've talked to people who were there the following day, and they said it was obviously a controlled demolition. Buildings don't come, first of all, no steel-reinforced building has ever in all history at any time ever come down that way. And, of course, then, of course, we have to ask, what happened to the 1,100 bodies in the Twin Towers that disappeared? They were vaporized. How do you vaporize bodies unless there's an explosion? And, of course, there are 1,100 bodies they've never found, but nobody ever talks about that. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling from Santa Cruz. Again, our number 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And incidentally, if you listen to Regular Liberty regularly, we'll be doing a program at 7 o'clock Pacific time tomorrow morning on the American Freedom Network out of Johnstown, Colorado. And we'll have Mr. Richard Gage, who's an expert on this, and he's given his life to trying to get the information out. He's an architect and an engineer, and his website is Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, or A&E for 9/11 Truth. And a great website, and you'll actually see Building 7 coming down. It was a controlled demolition. And if it was a controlled demolition, how did Osama bin Laden sneak into that Building Number 7 and bring it down? Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, Stan. I believe that Building 7 really was supposed to have come down in shortly after the collapse of the towers or in the dust. They made a mistake that day. Something went wrong, and the building didn't come down for another 7 hours.
They made a lot of mistakes that day. But they, in fact, they're so very obvious. There was a wonderful article in Vanity Fair where they actually talked to the people at the FAA, and they talked to the people at NORAD. And do you realize that there were 29 simulated hijackings that day? The FAA was tracking 29 hijackings. How could that possibly be? Well, obviously, there were 29 hijackings. They were all simulated to confuse the FAA, to confuse NORAD, so there would be nothing to stop them from attacking the Twin Towers and from attacking the world, the Pentagon, and, of course, the plane that went down in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. And all those people, I believe, were intentionally killed because they needed an excuse to go into Afghanistan. The plans were already there. The troops were on hand. Do you realize that within 3 weeks of the time of the supposed attack on the Twin Towers, our troops were on the ground in Afghanistan? How could you possibly move them there that quickly? unless they were already stationed and ready to be launched. But you go ahead, Mike.
I'd love to go on about 9/11, but I wonder if I could just read that little excerpt from The Secret Teachings of All Ages.
Sure, you can. No, for the listener out there, this is a book written by a Satanist. His name was Manly P. Holm, certainly the leading Masonic philosopher of the last century. And he wrote a book called The Secret Destiny of America, which we do carry. You can order it from Radio Liberty. It is probably one of the most important books out there because this man who is a Satanist, who was certainly very, very close to FDR, sent a team out to photocopy or to make copies of all of Manly P. Hall's material, because Manly P. Hall had traveled all over the world collecting information on esoteric matters upon the secret societies and mystery religions, and he lays it all out in this little book, and you can get it by calling our 800 number, 1-800-544-8927, but it is not in the catalog. It is on the special list of occult books. We think if you're a researcher, you want the information, but go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, this is from page 283 for those who have copies. You can also get it online if you go to sacred-text.com. There's a lot of esoteric books. You don't want to go there unless you're really seriously researching stuff, because it'll poison your brain if you don't watch out. Actually, it'll poison your spirit. But this is The Secret Teachings of All Ages by Manly P. Hall, known as Masonry's greatest philosopher. I think we rank him along with Albert Pike. But he said on this page, 283, not only were many of the founders of the United States government Masons, but they received aid from a secret and august body existing in Europe, which helped them to establish this country, that's the United States, for a peculiar and particular purpose known only to the initiated few. The secret, the Great Seal, is the signature of this exalted body, unseen and for the most part unknown, and the unfinished pyramid upon its reverse side is a trestle board setting forth symbolically the task to the accomplishment of which the United States government was dedicated from the day of its inception. And I want to share that because we're seeing nowadays the accomplishment that was that this country was set forth for by this group. And Hall doesn't name this group in this passage, but you can string enough things together to understand that group was the Colombian faction of the Illuminati, thereby giving the name Washington District of Columbia to the city.
Well, we know that there were these occult forces here. The thing is, they want to convince us this was a Christian nation. Yes, there were many Christians here. The majority of our people were Christians, and many of the people who were involved in creating this country were Christians. Well, what they will never let you know is that there was a strong occult foundation and background to many of the people who were involved in this, in the American Revolution. In fact, Masons came over from Europe to fight in the American Revolution. There's a wonderful book. It's written by the Librarian of Congress. It's called Fire in the Minds of Men. Now, James H. Billington, the Librarian of Congress, deletes much of the history of America because he himself is part of one of these secret societies, but he does a magnificent job of writing about the secret societies in Europe, the Masons, the Illuminati, the Society of the Just, and all of this myriad of secret societies that is working and has been working to bring about a world revolution. And he says this revolution started in France in 1789 and continued right up to the Communist Revolution in Cuba in 1959, a continuous revolution. He's absolutely right. Which, of course, is the reason why Bill Clinton and Janet Reno actually set a team of heavily armed people, 125-member SWAT team armed with automatic weapons in Miami, Florida, to kidnap little Elian Gonzalez and send him back to Fidel Castro to build up Fidel Castro's prestige, not only in Cuba but throughout the world. This is why David Rockefeller was meeting with Fidel Castro, and he tells that. David Rockefeller tells that in his book, Memoirs, and why David Rockefeller's daughter Both daughters were such good friends of Fidel Castro, but we can't let the American people know that. This is all laid out in a wonderful DVD we offer called The World Revolution, going into the background of the writings of James H. Billington and the World Revolution, which is taking place today. That's a great quotation, Mike, and I appreciate so much you calling in. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, back to the 911 thing, we have to realize who these people are, that they would kill 3,000 people, American citizens and foreign nationals as well, but everybody knows what happened that day. But make note of the fact that they did it in broad daylight. With all the cameras showing the world what they're doing, and they've gotten away with it.
I remember, Christy, that day we were told 6,000 people died. 6,000 people died. And then, of course, they didn't realize, of course, what was going to happen, because there in the South Tower there were about 2,500 people, something like that, who worked, I've forgotten, for one of the stock companies. And the fellow who was there in charge of the security was racing up and down the aisles telling people to get out. And he got all of those, 2,500 or more people out of the building. They were supposed to die, too. And they kept broadcasting over the loudspeaker, stay in your seats, stay in your seats, do not get up, orders, stay in your seats. And the man in charge of security was racing up and down the aisle saying, get out, we're under terrorist attack, get out, save your lives. And they listened to him, and they didn't listen to the loudspeaker. Nobody's ever asked, who was it who kept broadcasting and trying to get those people to stay in their seats so they would die and be part of the count of 6,000?
And if Building 7 had come down when it was supposed to have, a lot more people would have died.
That's right. They really wanted them to die. That's why, of course, our four tape set on the fate of the Liberty, the USS Liberty in 1967, is so important. When you realize that Robert McNamara and the people in Washington, D.C. wanted all those men on the USS Liberty to die, and God intervened and saved their lives, hey, we're out of time, Mike.
Hey, Tim, thank you.
God bless, and thanks so much for being with us. And we'll be back in a moment to wrap up today's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Judy calling from Salinas on fluoridation. How are you doing, Judy?
Dr. Stan, I'm wondering if a pattern is here with fluoridation in toothpaste, water, whatever means that they can deliver it. Is it curbing the testosterone development in little boys, and which in turn curbs the proper development of muscle tone, which in turn would also affect the metabolism adversely, and so we have a lot of little fat boys.
Well, that, of course, the aspartames and MSG and so many of the things that they're eating, this predisposes them to obesity. We're doing so much to harm the children. If people could only understand, there really are people out there who want to hurt children. They have the Dr. Mengele mentality. And, of course, they look upon Dr. Mengele as a great hero. But we can't let the average American know that, because if the mothers of this country realized what they were doing to our children, I think they'd rise up in mass and join us in this epic struggle to expose the evil that is working in Washington, D.C., at every level of government.
Well, you know...
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, Judy. Judy, go ahead. Judy, are you there? Judy, are you there? Go ahead. Judy, we seem to have lost you. Go ahead. I'm going to have to ask our producer, is Judy coming through, or I don't know what's happening. I can't hear her. Judy, are you there? Well, I think we must have lost Judy, and that's a shame, because I was looking forward to hearing what she had to say. Go ahead. Go ahead, Judy. Judy, are you there? Judy, I can't hear you. Judy, are you? I can't hear you at all. Well, I'm going to have to cut her off. I really don't want to, because I'd like to know what she has to say. Chris, Judy, speak up, please. Judy, please speak up. I can't hear you. Well, I'm going to have to cut Judy off, because it's a tragic situation that we have. So many of our communities are fluoridated. And, of course, what people do not understand is this is aimed really at the blacks. And Roger Masters' work back to Dartmouth pointed out that in the areas where they fluoridate the water, most of the water is fluoridated with hydrofluosilicic acid, the lead level in the blood of those children certainly goes up sixfold. And, of course, this is responsible for a lot of the raids and criminal activity of the blacks in the inner cities of our country. And what a terrible tragedy is. The scientific facts are there. But the last thing they want the American or the black people to know is they're intentionally poisoning the black youth of our nation. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we do hope you've enjoyed our open line programs. I always look forward to them, although it's for having a regularly prepared guest. And I had hoped you'd hear Frosty Wolowitz today. Frosty, of course, is suggesting we legalize drugs as a means of doing away with the drug problem in America. Because, of course, well, first of all, the Central Intelligence Agency is the major organization behind the distribution of drugs throughout the world. I mean, does it ever bother you? Do you ever stop and wonder why it is that when the Taliban, the wicked, evil Taliban, were in charge of Afghanistan, there was almost no opium production? But now that the heroic Americans are there, why, it is the largest producer of opium in the entire world. What's wrong with this picture? Why could the Taliban shut down the production of opium, but we can't do it? And I'd like to suggest to you that nothing is it appears to be. There really are evil people who actually want to destroy lives with drugs. And basically, the best way to do away with the drug epidemic, I believe, would be to legalize the drugs and caution people not to use them, but to tax them. And, of course, that would keep the price up, but it would take the profit out from the drug dealers. And it would do away with a lot of our gangs. It would do away with a lot of our crime. And this is exactly what happened in Prohibition. You remember Prohibition? And you had Al Capone, and you had Machine Gun Kelly, and you had all of these people out there. And, of course, they were making a fortune on drugs. And when you legalized alcohol, all the crime, or most of the crime, went away. There was no longer a profit in it. If we legalized narcotics, why, of course, we would not have any more addicts than we do now. We would have a much more peaceful solution. I'm sorry we didn't get Frosty. I don't know what happened to him. We'll have to have him later. If you'd like to get our 4-tape set, on do we really have a war on drugs, why it's available through Radio Liberty. We certainly have, if you're interested in water fluoridation, we have a couple of 4-tape sets on that. We have my talk on the hidden agenda. That's the hidden agenda with an excellent syllabus that goes with it. We actually, of course, have several DVDs on water fluoridation. That put together by our good friend Dr. Kennedy, and you'll actually see the difference between the children in China and where they fluoridate the water and where they don't. And maybe you wonder why we have so many trouble with our kids today, because this lowers intelligence, and they know that. They just don't want the American people to know that. And they've known it ever since the days of the Nazis. That's why the Nazis fluoridated the water in the occupied areas, but not in Germany itself. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're up against organized evil. You need to get our information. You can go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly you can call us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the information on Dr. Mengele and certainly on Operation Paperclip and the CIA program to bring the Nazi scientists not only to America, but to help them escape to South America, why, the number to call is 1-800-544-8927. That's Operation Paperclip. And then, of course, again, of course, you want to get the four-tape, four-CD set. Is there really a war on drugs? And then we hope you want to get my book on the Brotherhood of Darkness and or the DVD that goes with that, my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that, which is important. And then, of course, you want to get our talk on the planned police state and the syllabus goes with that. There's so much information available from Radio Liberty. We got the great new 4-CD set on the assassination of Martin Luther King. And this is the trial that the King family actually put forward, and they paid William Pepper, the lawyer, to take the case for them against Mr. Jowers, who was part of the CIA conspiracy. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the CIA conspiracy. There was a trial, and the jury voted almost unanimously that the CIA was involved, and not a word in the controlled medium. The 4-tape set, the assassination of Martin Luther King, the book, an act of state by William Pepper. You need to get the material on the sinking of the Liberty, the four tape set, the DVD, the video, or the Liberty special, the Liberty special. And then understand, ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a spiritual battle, and there are powerful forces on the other side. Please pray for America.